wonderful name. Just bow our heads in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach, Lord, this point of this service tonight, we're asking, Lord, for your divine guidance, Lord, through the scriptures tonight. Lord, to stir up our memories, Lord, our remembrance, and our pure conscience, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you will, Lord, direct us, Lord, knowing the needs of each and every one. And I ask, God, that you will help us to be an encouragement to them tonight. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. While you're standing, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. I want to read verses 5 through 7, and then we'll be turning to Galatians chapter 1. Luke 4, verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. I want to read verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to thought that was on my heart this week was looking at a kingdom without a Calvary. A kingdom without a Calvary. And we realize that when Satan smote this earth, he became the ruler and authority over this earth. And he was witnessing that before the Lord Jesus, and Jesus never disputed that. He never disputed the devil's claim, and the devil said that it had been given unto him. It was given unto him because of the fall. And it put this whole world under a curse, and the kingdoms of this world under a curse. All the kingdoms of the world are dominated by the powers of Satan. All the nations, governments of this world, they're all dominated by Satan in some form or other. That's why we have wars. That's why we have rumors of wars. That's why we have all these things, is because Satan is the one that's in control and power over this world. He's the prince, the Bible says he's the prince and power of the air. Satan said, all these belong to me, I'll do with them what I want to. I can give them to whoever I will. They belong to him. And to think that in a moment's time, just very quickly, in a moment's time, he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Not just present, but all the kingdoms that would ever be. He showed them to him all in a moment's time. Brother Branham said he showed him the United States and Russia and Great Britain and all the kingdoms that ever would be. He showed him all these kingdoms and said, you can have it if you'll worship me. But the thing that struck me about this is the fact Jesus, he never disputed Satan's claim. When Satan said it, why, of course, we know Jesus said every time this was during his temptation, every time he was tempted, he would go to the word, and he said that it says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only. But when Jesus then, when he was delivered up by the Jews to Pilate, and Pilate was questioning him, and Pilate wanted to know, he said, are you king of the Jews? Of course, Jesus says, well, that's what you say. And so he wanted to know about his kingdom. Jesus said in John 18:36, said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. He was testifying himself there, this world's not my kingdom. This world's not my kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. And I like how he says, but now is my kingdom not from hence. So at this present time, he was saying, my kingdom's not here. I don't have control over this world and the nations of this world. You know, the prophet said that, talked about the way this nation was formed. It was formed on "In God We Trust." But it ain't that way anymore. No, sir. This nation has strayed even so far from even what it was when the prophet of God was here. And I know that he saw the United States as it would be, but it the way that he talked about it, even under why President Kennedy was president, why this nation's so far from that now. I tell you what, this nation's at a place now where it makes Kennedy look like he was a conservative. That's right. It's gone. And Jesus said, Brother Branham was saying here in the deity of Jesus Christ, he said, if my kingdom is of this world, I could call many legions of angels, but my kingdom is not of this world, but my kingdom is in heaven. And he said, the kingdom of God will be within you. So therefore, the legions and powers of the backing of the holy angels is in you now. Because his kingdom is within us. He rules and reigns on the throne of our hearts. And the power and backing of the legions of angels is behind the believer. John 17, if you can turn with me there, if you would, if you want to. This is a prayer that Jesus was offering up. It's John's the only book that recorded or caught this prayer or has wrote down what was this prayer. But he was praying in verse 15. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. What we read in the text said that he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That particular scripture Brother Branham read when he preached the message of God of this evil age. And Brother Branham went into talking about this age that we're living in. That people are thinking they're worshiping Jehovah. They think they're worshiping God, but they're actually worshiping the devil. We're not of this world, Brother Branham says in that day on Calvary. He said, we have went to Calvary. We've crucified ourselves. No matter what the world says, we take the way with the Lord's despised few. We go on to the resurrection. We believe that that's soon at hand. Lord, to when we will be resurrected in the kingdom that will take over this world as Daniel foresaw it. Oh God, we want to be part of it. Let us deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and live for Christ, live for others. Another place Brother Branham said, eternal life is living for others.
Amen.
Not living for yourself. But it's not what you can do for yourself, but what you do for others. And you know, when you really do it from your heart, you're not looking to get credit for it. Now, I know I can testify in this church that we've done things for people that it didn't mean one, what we did didn't end up meaning one thing to them. We've done that many a times, but I'll tell you what, there's been times we've done things for one another, and there's people here that things have been done for, and I know they're an appreciation of how the church has done for them. Sometimes out of the goodness of our heart, we try to help people that don't want to be helped. That's the truth. And then they'll walk off from it all and just walk right over it like it don't mean nothing. And it hurts when they do that. But you know, if you really give from your heart, you're not giving so somebody else, so you can tell somebody else, well, I did this or that. You're just doing it because you feel that from your heart to do it. Now, thinking about this kingdom that is of this world right now, and it was that way in the days of Jesus, and it hasn't changed, that Satan is in control of the governments of the world. He is an influence behind them. And that's why, and you think about it, it's strange. He gets kingdoms to fight against kingdoms. It's always fussing and fighting. And there's always, you know, like today, rumors of wars. They're looking for, are we going to go to war with North Korea or not? And that's what it is. It's a rumor of a war. And the Bible said it would be that way at the end time. And this world, to think about, what would it be if we'd have never had Calvary? Because we know that Jesus went to the cross, and when he died, he not only redeemed man, but he died and redeemed this world. The earth and the world is not living in a redeemed state right now. But the price for it has already been paid. And one day it will come and be materialized. It'll come to pass. Looking forward to that day. Brother Branham says, in our hope is in God. He said, we think of how he was born this world, the Son of God. But at the age of 30, God placed him upon the banks of Jordan. He was standing in the water, dripping with his locks. God vindicated that as his son and said, this is my beloved son in whom I well please. Adoption, placing into his kingdom for the work that he was to finish. How we're thankful tonight that he finished the course, then despised the shame, bore it, and was nailed at Calvary as a substitute for us. Dying in capital punishment. Jesus was the innocent lamb. Pilate himself testified that before the people, said, I find no fault in him. And Pilate said, I find no fault in him, but we have a custom. And if you ask, I can just deliver him. And this custom was that they would deliver one prisoner during this time. And we know the crowd cried, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Barabbas was a troublemaker. He was a renegade. And Barabbas was, he was an enemy to the government at the time. But he wasn't a good man. But that's who they wanted over Jesus. And so Jesus, you know, it was capital punishment. They reserved crucifixion for the worst of criminals. And that's how Jesus died. What did Calvary bring for us? Brother Branham said, your healing was purchased. Peter says, by his stripes we were healed. Your healing was purchased at Calvary. Your salvation was purchased at Calvary. Brother Ram said, you didn't get saved just today or 10 years ago or whatever. He said, you were saved back 1900 years ago when he died. You just came to it here now in this time and age. But he already died for your salvation. In the Church of the Living God, Brother Branham was praying. No, that's a different one. Let's see here. In the Church of the Living God, he says, and tonight we're very conscious that he rose from the dead 1900 years ago and lived forevermore, dwelling in his church, making intercession for the believers who confess upon his works and his vicarious suffering at Calvary. I'm glad he's there to make intercession for us. That's what it would be without a Calvary. We'd be living in a wicked and evil world. And you know what? There wouldn't, for our sins, there'd be nobody to confess our sins to. Your sins, you'd be responsible for them, and that would just, and that'd be all there was to it without Calvary. As bad as this nation has gotten, it's still one of the better nations to live in. There's a lot worse places to live than to live here. There are nations that, you know, I don't know what y'all consider yourself, middle class or whatever, but there are nations where they don't have no such thing. You either got money or you don't, period. Don't look for MasterCard or Visa to help you out because they don't got that neither. I'd rather live in this nation than any other nation. Brother Branham was praying and show us the Father. No, I'm sorry. We would see Jesus. That's the one I'm looking for. I'm sorry. And he says here in his prayer, he says, in the absence of the body of the Lord Jesus, but his spirit's here, I say to the enemy of this child's body, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I come to challenge you in this duel of faith. And you can't hold the child any longer. We represent Jesus Christ's vicarious suffering and death at Calvary. And you were defeated there. Come out of the child in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Under the law in the Old Testament, when two men would make a covenant, they would take an animal and they would kill that animal and divide it into two halves. Then they would write why they stood there between that animal. They would write a contract, whatever it would be, that they were taking an oath on. And they would take an oath, and then the contract would be torn into two parts and one given to each man. And what they were testifying is if they break that oath, that they would be like that animal that they had slain. And Brother Branham says, God took and slayed Jesus Christ. And he separated his soul from his body. And he put his body, he says, there on the mercy seat. And sent his spirit back upon man. He said, God could swear by no greater, the Bible says. So he swore by himself. He took an oath over the body of Jesus Christ. That this covenant that he was making with man, that he made with Abraham to be an everlasting covenant, that it would never be broke. I thank God for that tonight. Amen. Amen. No matter what you do or what goes on or what anybody else does, that covenant stands there. Amen. Faithful and stable. It cannot be broke. What is that covenant? Amen. That covenant is with you.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. With Abraham, he made the covenant, and he was talking about all the land you see, all this land will belong to you. But you know what? Brother Branham said, you know what that promised land is to the believer today? He said it's the Holy Ghost, and it belongs to the believer. Jesus was dying on the cross. We know there was two thieves there. One of the thieves said, if thou be the who they say you are, then save yourself and save us. And mocked him. But the other one said, he kind of rebuked that one. Said, we're here dying because we're guilty. We deserve to be here. But this man's innocent. Then he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Brother Branham said, Jesus spoke to that man and said, this day shall you be with me in paradise. But he kept silent to the other one, he says, because the other one had no repentance. Think about that tonight. People that won't repent. Today they don't mock Jesus, but they mock you. They mock what you believe. There's been people around here that have mocked this church and said all kinds of horrible things about this church. They're just like the thief that was mocking Jesus on the cross. When you speak against this church, you believers, they're speaking against Christ because this is his work. It's not Jerry Browning's work or anybody else here. This is the Lord's work. And when they speak against that, they're speaking against Almighty God. And the Bible says that if a person blasphemes, that it'll never be forgiven in this world or the world to come. So you see just how serious a thing that it is. It's very serious. A kingdom without a Calvary. You realize what Calvary did for us? What did Calvary do to the devil? It stripped him of every right that he had. Before Calvary, Satan had a right to everyone that died. Why? Because there was no price that had been paid for the redemption. So Satan had a claim on them. The Bible says he, in the book of Jude, he came to make a claim on Moses. And Michael rebuked him. No wonder Satan was upset. He had a claim and God said, well, I tell you what, I'm going to veto it this time. Because I got more work for Moses to do yet. I'm not finished with him yet. He's got more work to do. You realize Elijah was caught up. He never died. Moses died. Moses represents those that die, those that are asleep in Christ, as the Bible says. And Elijah represents those that are alive and remain when the rapture comes. the two together. And they made their appearance there on Mount Transfiguration. Hallelujah. What to testify of that? Here was one that was resurrected. Come back. He wasn't, look friends, Moses never was locked away in that place that the devil locked away all of God's people in. God reserved him. And then here, him and Elijah standing there upon the mount that day. And we know there's coming a time when the two of them will come back on this earth again. And they'll walk through the streets of Jerusalem. What? Calling out those 144,000 that belong to God. And it said they'll stop it from raining. Who did that? Elijah. Said they'd call plagues on the earth. Who did that? Moses. Hallelujah. But Satan was stripped of every power. Brother Branham illustrates it many times. I've heard other ministers illustrate it. How that Jesus, when he died, he went down to the gates of hell and walked in. And Brother Branham says in one place that he knocked on the gates and said, "Open up." And said, Satan opened the gates and said, "I finally got you. I thought I had you when I got Joseph. I thought I had you. I thought I had you when I got Daniel. I thought I had many times. I thought I had you. But now I finally got you." And he said, Jesus just looked at him and smacked him right in the face. And said, "Them keys you got on your side, I'm taking them. They belong to me now. I've paid the price. My blood is still dripping on the cross of Calvary. And I paid the price." And he stripped Satan of every power. And he unlocked the doors that were locked where Satan had kept those captive that had died under the blood of bulls and goats. And he set them free. The Bible says he led captivity captive. He set them free, and the Bible tells us they arose and walked through the streets of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Jesus stands there in the book of Revelations and says, "I've got the keys." Hallelujah. "I've got the keys of hell and of death." He possessed the keys now. Hallelujah. He stripped Satan. Satan no longer has any power or claim over these bodies. That's why, see, our healing was purchased at Calvary. And it took away any claim the devil had. When sickness comes upon you, Brother Branham says, you can rebuke that sickness because the devil has no place on you. Now we know that God will allow sometimes us to go through things. He'll allow sicknesses to come upon us. But ain't nothing going to kill us until God's finished with us here. God allows sickness to come on you. That's just an opportunity to witness his healing of your body. Or your mind. Jesus committed to this to the believers for them to go to tarry in the upper room. He said, "Until you're endued with power from on high." Brother Branham said, "Son Jesus, who suffered at Calvary, shed his blood freely, won the victory over death, sin, sorrow, and sickness, committing into the hands of the church 50 days later, the power of the Holy Spirit that was promised. So he's committed to the church. It wasn't just to the apostles, but it's to all, as many as the Lord our God shall call, is what the Bible says. Now, we can place our hands on somebody that's sick. Why? Because we represent the suffering at Calvary that paid the price for our healing. Without Calvary, that wouldn't be. Just think for a moment what kind of world this would be if we'd have never had a Calvary. It'd be a world without any hope. I'm so thankful for Calvary. I'm so thankful that he shed his blood for us. I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't have to answer for sin. I'm glad the sins of the past have all been forgiven and I don't got to stand there and answer for them. Because I'll tell you this, friends, I'd be lost. Period. That's all there is to it. You know what? You would be too. And the thing is, you know, it doesn't matter whether you say, well, I've never done nothing bad in my life. Doesn't matter. You were born in sin. You were born in sin, the Bible said, and shaped into iniquity and came into this world speaking lies. We've all sinned and come short. Amen. We all need him as a Savior. The message of the token, Brother Ram says, now we place our hands by faith upon Jesus Christ and are identified with him in his death. Not only in his death, but we are accepted. We are identified not only in his death, but in his resurrection. And by the life that was in him is sent back upon the believer as a token, a memorial that the death has passed from it. And God has sealed you into the kingdom of God until the day of your redemption. I know this just may just sound so simple, but I'm looking forward to that day of a complete redemption. I look in the mirror and I say, Jerry, what in the world have you done to yourself? I look at pictures of me when I was young, and I think some people, as they grow older, they still look the same. Not me. I look like a total different person. And I'll be glad when the redemption comes. I've suffered things in my body that I think should have been beyond my age. I'm not that old, but my body sure feels it. And I'll tell you, that old cursed disease of diabetes, I hate that thing. That's a horrible disease to have. It really is. And I'm not talking about because of what you can't eat. I'm talking about because what it does to your body. What it does to your nerves and everything. And how it breaks your body down. It's a slow killer. It's what it is. I'll be glad when I don't got to worry about that no more. I'll be glad to be free of that. Hey man, I'm looking forward to that new body. Sometimes I look at other people my age and I see they still got a full head of hair and I'm envious. I think, what in the world? How could they keep their hair and I couldn't? But one day I'll have it all back. I said that might just kind of sound silly, but that's some of the things that I think about. In raising Jairus' daughter, Brother Branham says, and when you poured out all your sinful life and the Holy Spirit boiled in the fires of Calvary had been poured into you, it sealed you into the kingdom of God. And then he quotes Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed into the day of your redemption. Do you realize Calvary made us heirs with Jesus? There's a kingdom coming, and we're part of it. We're not of this world. We're not part of this world. We came from somewhere else. But you know what that speaks of? That also speaks that there are people that are of this world. And this is the only life they'll ever have. My dad used to call them earth men. All the fears of death were taken away at Calvary. He took the sting of death and pulled it right into his bosom. Now there's no fear of death. Why? Because we know that it's just a vehicle.
Yes,
or a door from this side, this life, for the believer. The believer can't die. These bodies quit working. These bodies quit functioning. But the real you, Lord willing, on Sunday, I want to preach about finding the real you. The greatest thing, Brother Branham said, the greatest thing that God ever gave the church is not to hold an ecclesiastical paper in their hand, but to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And to cut the kingdom of the devil until our chief captain comes to take over. We wage war against the God of this world, against the ruler, the prince and power of the air. We come against him in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because in his name. We can come because he is the one who paid the price because of Calvary. Revelations 11 and 15. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. There's coming a day when these kingdoms that belong to the devil's going to lose his hold on the kingdoms of this world. Because the kingdoms of the devil are going to fall. The wicked are going to burn. Brother Branham says here in The Mighty Conqueror, the reason we have wars and shooting and fighting and trouble is because the kingdoms of this world is of the devil. The Bible said so. And in the great millennium to come, the Bible says, rejoice all ye heavens, ye holy prophets of the earth, for the kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our Lord. He shall rule and reign forever. We'll have no more war when he comes. No more sickness, no more trouble. I'm looking forward to no more times of trouble. We seems like sometimes you have trouble on every hand. But I'm looking forward to a time when there is no trouble. Forward to the time when there's no sickness. Sign of the time, he said, all the kingdoms of the world belong to the devil. Watch when Satan showed him the kings of the world, said, all these are mine. I do with them whatever I want to. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. Jesus knew he was going to fall heir to them in the millennium. So he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And when Jesus takes over these kingdoms, we'll stack arms and never have no more wars. We'll have no more fights or troubles, no more sickness, no more sorrow or death when Christ takes over the kingdoms of the world. Well, I tell you what, even though you know when your loved ones, you know when they die, you know where they go, those that are in Christ, still death is hard on us. Death is hard on the living. We mourn for the losses that we have. The Bible says, comfort one another with these words, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we do comfort one another with these words. But this old human flesh, this human spirit we have actually, it has a hard time dealing with death. It doesn't want to accept it. Doesn't want to accept that on this side you ain't going to see him no more. But you know what? There was someone in the family that was calling my mom and talking to my mom, somebody out of my dad's family, about what they were doing the day my dad died, and where they were, and what was going on with them, and how much they missed him or whatever. And I heard him on the phone, and I thought, what in the world are they calling his widow for, his mate, and telling them how much they're suffering over his loss or what they were doing? It don't mean nothing whatever they was doing on the day when he died. It don't mean nothing whatever thought they had. Someone said that ain't serving God, said they had a dream and they saw my dad and my grandmother. And someone told us about it and said, that ought to bring you comfort. I said, that don't bring me no comfort. Some sinner's dream don't bring me no comfort. If they had truly had a dream, it wasn't for me, it was for them. I know where they went. I know where they are. I know I'll see them again. I have that confidence. But I'll tell you what, they can grieve, some of them family can grieve for my dad all they want. If they don't get their life right, they'll never see him again. Except across the judgment bar. He said he knew he was going to fall heir to him in the millennium. And so when Jesus takes over the kingdoms, we'll stack the arms and have no more wars. We'll have no more fights or troubles. No more sickness, sorrow, or death. When Christ takes over the kingdoms of the world to sit on his father David's throne and rule all the nations. Until then, we're going to have wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and earthquakes and sickness and sorrow and sin. I'll tell you what, I don't know what you classify these storms that are going on that have hit Florida and hit Texas, and then another one came and hit Florida. And I'll tell you what, they said down in Texas they still haven't made their way to all the houses that was under floods. They still don't have a complete death toll because they ain't found everybody yet. And there'll probably be bodies they'll never find. I as a human, I feel for the people that went through those things. But I'll tell you what, I know some of the areas that got hit, like Miami, is full of sin. And I don't necessarily believe that it's the judgments of God yet. Many sometimes think that. I think the judgments of God are yet to come. But it ain't God that's behind them storms. It's Satan that's behind them storms. I've quoted this before. You forgive me if you don't like me saying what some other preacher, I heard some other preacher say, but I heard Brother Donnie Reagan one time say, Satan, how he is about his people, said he'll tell them to go rob the bank and then he'll call the cops on them while they're there. Satan is the one who is behind all the sin that's in them places. And he's also behind all these storms. When we get in that new kingdom, there won't be no more storms. In the Patmos vision, Brother Branham said, this is man's day. It's man's doing, man's work, man's church, man's ideal of worship, man's everything. For it's man's world. But the day of the Lord is coming. Yes, it is. It is just that at this time of the revelation of Jesus Christ, John was taken up by the Spirit and transported by the Spirit to the great day that is coming. The day of the Lord is when the days of man are over. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. The day of the Lord is when the judgments fall. And after that comes the millennium. Right now the world does what it wants to with the Christians. Ain't that the truth? They call him all manner of evil names, make fun of him. But there's coming that great and notable day when they will wail and howl. For the Lamb is coming in wrath to judge the world. Then is when the righteous will have their day with the Lord. For the wicked shall burn, and the righteous shall walk over their ashes in the millennium. Brother Am was quoting from Malachi 4:3. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm looking forward to that millennium. When it says that Satan will be bound for that 1,000 years. He won't have no power over us. He won't have his kingdom, his days of kingdom is over with. Amen. Jesus will be ruling. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it says we'll build our own houses during that time. And it said we'll sow our seed and another won't reap it, we'll reap it. It'll be a time when this world is our world. For 1,000 years we'll live on this world without sin, without sickness, without sorrows, without death, without troubles, without war. For 1,000 years. I'm looking forward to that. And I believe, friends, I believe we're getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. I always keep my eye on Israel. Watch what's going on with Israel. And I watch what other nations do toward or about Israel, or how they are toward Israel. And I've watched, you know, I'm watching to see what's going to go on, because the last previous 8 years, this nation moved further away from any kind of pact with Israel. I don't think that during that 8 years that our leader had any kind of liking or whatever for Israel. I don't know now, but I know there'll be a day when the United States, I believe, will turn their back on Israel for the last time. But I watch what's going on in Israel because that's God's timepiece. And I look at it and I see we're getting closer to the time when they're going to rebuild that temple. Amen. It's getting closer to that time. Amen. And right now it looks like that the Muslim world has great power. But I'll tell you what, little Israel ain't worried. They're not scared. There's Americans that was running scared. I got a text from one of the boys that had left us here before they had that eclipse. And he said, "I believe the world's coming to an end. I don't know if I got enough time to get right with God. Can I come to church?" I never even answered him. So I knew he wasn't serious. I knew he was just scared because he was looking at the, you know, what people were saying about that eclipse that was coming through here and all that, and then what was going on in North Korea. Well, the eclipse come and went, and I ain't heard hide in their hair since. You know what? Sinful people, they're not going to realize the coming of the end of the world. It's just going to take them by surprise. It is. They're being prepared for the great tribulation period now. But when it sets in, I'll tell you, the ones that's really going to be surprised is the ones that say they believe this message and don't live it. I'll tell you, some of the ones that are really going to be surprised, ones that have mocked and made fun of this church. Amen. They'll be looking for you then. They'll be over here seeing if anybody's at the church then. But there won't be nobody here. We'll done been gone. Hallelujah. You know, we'll walk around on this earth for about 40 days with the dead in Christ, getting reacquainted with our loved ones that have went on before us. We'll be in a changed body. And you know what? The world won't even see us. The people of the world won't see us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You won't need that Honda then, Brother Jim. No, won't need it then. Won't need that Ford truck then, Brother Todd. No. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm looking forward to it, aren't you? Let's stand as Brother Nate prepares to come. I'm glad that we don't live in a kingdom without a Calvary. I'm glad that Jesus came and paid the price that he did. You know what? Without that, we wouldn't be able to live in this time, in this era, in this world. The only mercy we got is because of Jesus giving his life for us on Calvary. God bless you.
I feel like traveling on F.